This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I'm delighted to be able to introduce to you a guest we have on the program this morning, Brig Sorber. Brig is the co-founder, I guess, of Two Men in a Truck and is currently president or chairman of the company. Welcome, Brig.
Peter, thank you for having me.
Did I get that right?
Yeah, you were pretty close. I think I've held about every single position with Two Men in a Truck, along with being one of the original two men.
Yeah.
And now I'm the executive chair.
I have you on the program this week because of the story of Two Men in a Truck, but also the story of your faith and how that's impacted your whole process. But let's start with Two Men in a Truck and where it came from, because a lot of people are very familiar with it, that great picture you have on the side of the truck. You know, it's all over now.
Well, where it started was basically with a 66 Ford pickup truck, an old used beater that my brother and I, we got that from Michigan State University. It was an old ag truck, three on the tree. And we basically moved and hauled stuff to the dump, and we were doing it for beer and book money for college. Slowly, the business began to grow, and then my mom had a side business, and what she would do is she would go to auctions, and she would buy things at auctions and then sell them in a little store. And so to move that stuff around, she had a 15-foot step van, which was also an old beater. Mm-hmm. And she told my brother and I, hey, go ahead and use that. And when John and I started using that little step van without a ramp and without pads, we started moving houses and apartments, small houses and apartments, and doing deliveries. And that's really kind of where it started to change from junk hauling to moving. John and I would work in the summers, and then we would really just mothball the business and go to college. And one year, the calls just kept coming into the house. And so my mom called and said, hey, can I hire a couple guys and keep this going? And we thought that was a great idea, because when we came back for Christmas break and spring break, we could work. And so when we got back, she had bought a new truck, and it was like, well, there goes our beer and book money, making the payment for that. But the business continued to grow, and my mom eventually quit her job from the state of Michigan, and she ran it. The business made no money, but she loved it. And if you ask her now, she'd tell her those are the best days of her life in business. And eventually the business grew, and we incorporated the business in 1985. And we started franchising the business in 89. And then all of us kids had our own franchises during that time and came back and helped my mom to continue to grow the business.
So how many siblings did you have? I mean, the entire family was involved in the whole project? Or?
Well, my parents were divorced, and so my mom was single at the time, and my brother and sister. So my sister was actually the first franchise in Atlanta, Georgia, other than our Lansing franchise. My brother was, I think, the third franchise in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And my wife and I are up in the Upper Peninsula in Marquette, which just cracks me up because it was such a small one. But we were about the fourth franchise. And we really cut our teeth and really learned about the business, having our own businesses.
You had no idea at the start, obviously, where this thing was going to go.
No.
And what were you doing, just out of curiosity, before you started the franchise in Marquette? What were you doing?
I worked for Prudential Insurance up in the Upper Peninsula, and I was watching this thing grow, and I was really interested in it, and talked with my boss at the time, and he said, if I catch you near that business, I will fire you. It's like, okay. So my wife, Fran, really started the Marquette franchise. I would help her with, you know, buying equipment and hiring and firing guys, but she ran that thing up until, for a couple of years, and then I just really wanted to get more involved with the business. I was having success as an agent, but really felt unfulfilled. So we took a huge risk, and I quit that job and started running our two-man-a-truck franchise, which was one truck out of our house. But my wife began teaching at the school, at high school. And so that was allowed us to really get benefits there and then start building the business.
Okay. Was it, how long did it take to build that first business for you up there?
Oh, my gosh. Upers are, they're do-it-yourself people.
Yeah, right. That's
so,
true.
I think what got out was, you know, the wives of these families were sick of their husbands damaging the furniture. I think that was our key to get in. But we slowly built it, working out of our house. Soon, we started franchising, and I started marketing the franchises from Marquette on the phone. And so I became a franchise development and my own and running the franchise. And it became evident that my sister, who was the president at the time, said, "Bray, can you come down here and help me?" And so we sold our little business, our little house, pulled my kids out of school, and went down to Lansing, Michigan. And I've been there the last 20 years.
And how, tell us a little bit about how it's kind of grown from there. I mean, I want to eventually get to the heart of our conversation,
sure.
I hope, this week. But let's talk just about how it kind of grew and what you learned along the way in terms of just running a business, because you weren't exactly trained to do it.
No.
You're kind of learning along the way, right?
No, I had a geography degree from Northern Michigan University.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense, right? You know, there wasn't the internet back then. And franchising in food was known, but not really services. So we kind of bumped along and learned it as we went. We got involved with the IFA, the International Franchise Association, which was a big help for us. But our heart and souls were in that business. And even when my brother and I first started in that 66 Ford truck, customer service was just paramount to us. And it still remains that way to this day. And so we have a very high threshold of customer satisfaction like we did back then. And it was really just injecting that into the processes of Two Men in a Truck. If you look at us now, we will do about 540,000 moves this year alone, about 3 moves of every minute of every hour of every day.
Wow.
And we have used technology to check on customer satisfaction on every single one of those moves. Most people are on their computers, so we're able to send them questionnaires about how our service was. Were the guys friendly? Were they on time? Were they professional? And we, at this point, we have a 96% referral rating, which is very, very high. Thank you. In the moving industry, it's very difficult. And we also have lots of training at our corporate office. We have a 2-story training house in our office. I call it the move from hell, excuse the language.
Yeah.
But it's set up that way with really nasty stairways and gun safes and pianos. And we typically destroy that, teaching these guys how to properly move. And then we have to, every couple of years, have to go in and redo that whole thing. But we do all that up front to make sure that our franchises are well-equipped and our frontline people are well-equipped.
Do you have the U.S. basically covered at this point?
We've got 350 locations. We're in about 40 states right now. Some of the states are difficult. You know, you look at, Montana, for instance, not a real large group population, but we're looking at doing smaller markets to be able to get into those markets. We have locations. We have 22 locations in Canada. We have 2 in London, England. We have 1 in Dublin, Ireland.
There you go.
And we just opened a couple in Scotland. So what's really neat is that our process and our brand and our logo can be transported from country to country so far. And that can be difficult in American businesses because some of our logos and some of our catchphrases can be insulting to other countries. But so far, ours have been very portable. And our processes and training also have been very portable. So it's been good.
Yeah. Now, you and your brother, a couple of college students who were making beer and book money, you was kind of unlikely characters to end up running an international moving business.
Right.
Now, how did that happen in terms of just your own experience? Like, how did you learn to run a business, really?
Really just baptism by fire in many ways in business. We found, for instance, let me give you an example. Anybody that was interested in a franchise that had money, initially we would take them. And we'd find out that these weren't really the best partners to have, not all of them. Some people have a really difficult time working within a structured system like franchising. Americans are very, very entrepreneurial. And so what they want to do is take ideas and bend them and move them. And franchise systems, you just can't do that. You have to really work the process. Ironically enough, my mom, Mary Ellen, who really was the founder of the franchise in Two Men Truck, would be the worst franchise in the world. And it's because she comes up with ideas and wants to run with them. And I wouldn't say fighting franchises, but some franchises would say, I want to run yellow trucks. And I would say, no, you can't. I mean, it totally goes against, our brand. And they would go and talk to my mom, and my mom would go, those would be pretty. And I'd be like, no, time out. And I would joke with my mom and say, you'd be the worst franchise in the world. And she would laugh. Yeah. But you know what? I don't really consider myself truly entrepreneurial. What I did was I was very good at backing up what my mom would run with. And then I would put processes behind that and protect those processes. So we were a good team, my brother, sister, we all were good in that way of working. And then the people that I brought up, you know, that started out maybe as just really frontline employees in the early stages would bring them up into the franchising role and kind of teach them how to do that. Mm. So it was really important that we maintain the brand. And then we found out there's got to be a better way of vetting some of these franchises to stop this pain.
Yeah.
And so we did, and we made sure that we would do that. And in some of those interviews with those prospective franchisees, in the end, I would say, look, here is a list of all of our franchises. I want you to call every one of them and ask them what they like about Two Men in a Truck and what they don't like about Two Men in a Truck. Here's another list of people that left Two Men in a Truck, and I want you to talk with them too. And they would say, it sounds like you're trying to talk me out of it. I said, well, it's a lot like a marriage. I want you to know what's in the closet, you know, right. before you say I do.
And count the cost.
In that, using that, working with the prospective franchises like that, they realized, wow, they're not just trying to sell us something here. Otherwise, because I was ready to buy. It's like, no, my goal is to take your rosy-colored glasses off and have you understand something. Business is hard. This business is really hard. Just because you watched your neighbor make a lot of money at Two Men in a Truck or maybe a family member doesn't mean that you're going to. So we really want to take the glasses off and really understand what you're looking at. I think when we started doing that, we started to learn and we started to get the right, really strategic partners, our franchisees that we wanted. And so that's an example of how we kind of learned how to franchise. Was we were very good at finding every pothole and mistake, which we did. But I think where we really took off is learning from those, documenting those, and not making the same mistake two or three or four times.
Yeah. So you just have about a minute and a half left on the program, but it sounds like your mom was the entrepreneurial driver
of
the thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, she was. I mean, she took on a lot. Even when we didn't understand really the state regulations and moving. Moving's a very regulated state. I mean, the state police showed up at her door and were about to arrest her because we were doing illegal moves, which we didn't know.
Yeah.
And so those are family stories that we kind of crack up at. But you know what we did do? We found out, well, where do we learn about these rules? And we got into the books, we learned them, and we follow them. So that's kind of just how we just went in there like a bull in a china shop. But customer satisfaction was always paramount. So we kept moving forward.
If people want to know more about Two Men in a Truck, it's pretty easy to find out, I imagine. Just Google Two Men in a Truck or something.
Yeah.
Go right to your website.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll learn more about the history of us.
Yeah. Sure. Well, I'm actually glad we took a day just to talk about how the business grew. But tomorrow and the day after, we want to really talk about your faith journey in the whole process. Because I think the Lord has taught you a lot. And I think you have a lot to share. And it's been my passion on this show to periodically have guests who are working in the business world, men and women who've been successful, and they've been able, by the grace of God, to really integrate their faith into their work. It's not two separate worlds, and the tail doesn't wag the dog. It's the business doesn't control them. They're living with the Lord and growing what they believe is the Lord's business.
That's right, I found God in this business, so it's very interesting that if you thought that this was entertaining.
Yeah,
I've got some better stories later.
Good. Well, friends, I hope you can tune in tomorrow. Brig will be with us again to talk about this journey, which I think is an amazing one. Ask your friends to tune in. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.